Oh, good morning. You are listening to 101.9 FM, CITR broadcasting, of course, from unceded Musqueam territory. I'm Alex Biron, and I'm here with the wonderful guest host,
Roman Mancini, for the second time. I'm really, I'm killing this, university radio out here in Vancouver. I've done way more university radio in Vancouver than I have anywhere else.
You don't have to say university radio. You can just say radio.
I want people to know what they're getting. I believe in honesty and advertising. I've seen those ads on the bus.
It's going to be great. Honesty and advertising. Well, I can tell you what you're in store for today. You're going to hear a couple great tunes, some great talk between Roman and I, news about local shows. We're waiting for a call-in from Mark Normand, who is on Conan on Monday. He's going to be comedian Mark Normand, of course. You might know him from Last Comic Standing. He's going to be at the Comedy Mix in Vancouver all weekend, and we're very excited to potentially be talking to him. So, it's a sunny day today after a very rainy evening yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying. If you were getting used to that sun, don't get used to it, because nature is still the boss, and she is a cruel mistress.
That was a good sell for nature right there.
Yeah.
Nature is still the boss, and she's a cruel mistress. Why aren't you on TV with that? I don't understand.
Well, I look in the mirror every day, and I wonder that. But you know what? I was an extra.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a little movie talk, a little Hollywood. Not to get too Hollywood right off the top, but I am drinking a Fiji water, and that's pretty Hollywood.
It's Evian.
I know. But for the people at home, they believed it for a second. They're like, he's drinking a Fiji water.
So you said that just to demonstrate the power of radio.
The power of the movie business to make you think Fiji water is more important than any other water.
Yeah.
But let's focus on you and your extraing.
Yeah. So, I mean, life as a comedian and a radio host, you got a lot of free days.
Yeah.
And I don't have much of a resume as an actor, so... of course, I would love to do principal work or...
But you do have a lot of resume as a guy standing there in the background around something else that is happening. That is a believable role I could see you in.
I've been standing my whole life. Stand up.
Comedian,
even when I'm doing that, I was born... Well, let's not say that. I'm not going to say I was born to be a background performer, but I was qualified for it. And so I decided to do a little extra work and was on the new Gus Van Sant project with same writer as Milk, as the movie Milk, and it was awesome, man. I got to walk around behind Guy Pearce,
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite actors. Love that guy.
Yeah, what did he smell like? I think that's what everyone wants to know.
I didn't get quite close enough to smell, but he was really nice. I don't know, everyone says that, but he seemed really cool. He wasn't one of those weird
Give him your screenplay and say, hey, what do you think you can?
If I had a screenplay, I guess I could pitch in my idea. Man, I got an idea.
And I think he's like, all right, this is it. This is the moment.
I was really hoping that we'd be just cross paths and I could talk to him for a second, because I just wanted to I love Ravenous, man. Have you seen Ravenous?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that is a great...
I haven't seen anything that's been relevant in 10... Oh, okay, 90s movie. But I haven't seen anything relevant movie or TV-wise that's in the last 2 or 3 years. I'm really taking myself out of the loop, just because that's my equivalent of going off grid, is just stopping watching TV that people will be talking about.
I mean, if that's going off grid,
that's my cabin in the woods.
Yeah, if that's, you might have to go a little further into the woods than that. But I don't know. I got to talk to basically the story is it's the decades of work that the people had to do to further gay rights in America.
Oh, okay.
From the 70s and onward.
Yeah.
Chronicling what happened with Harvey Milk, what happened with the Names Project, the AIDS Memorial Quilt. And there's a guy named Cleve Jones, mm-hmm. who took over after Harvey Milk died, mm-hmm. and was a really important figure in the gay rights movement. And he was on set, and Guy Pearce was playing him. And I did get to talk to him for a moment near the bathroom.
Did you say, hey, how's it going? What did you hit? What did you open with in this situation?
I feel like I talked about myself a bit too much. I got to get better at that, because you got to let them talk.
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm beneath all these people, and they don't
care. Let's not get it. Yeah.
Well, the conversation, he was like, I was like, oh, it's Cleve Jones, famous human rights activist. I got to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty tired. Oh, I was like, how are you? He's like, I'm feeling pretty tired this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, me too. He's like, well, what's your excuse? I was like, I'm in. This is a convo. Okay, what do I say now? And I was like, well, I was doing some stand-up. And he was like, oh. And then, and then somebody came and was like, you need to be on set right now. We're filming. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And I left.
That was a great story of conversation.
I'm going to be in a lot of shots, man.
I want to be the background actor in that movie of you talking to him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could even do the line. Hey, you got to be on set right now. We're shooting.
Yeah,
look at that. Pass that audition for that guy. I could be that guy.
But honestly, extra. I feel like extra work is like a hidden. Like, there's all these jobs that you have to get that aren't your dream job, but like you got to work, right? Like you got to be like, okay, what am I going to be? Like a barista, or I'll be a clerk in a grocery store, mm-hmm. whatever it is, right? Like some sort of job.
Yeah.
And being an extra has got to be like one of the best ones because you get all the free food.
Yeah.
You get just walk around famous people, and I don't know, there's a good spirit on the set. It was cool. I enjoyed myself. I did get suckered into a very early shift in Delta though, because on Tuesday they were like, hey, you've been good today, we want you on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's the shoots in Delta, can you be there? I'm like, yeah, I guess I can do that. And they're like, it's gonna be like 9:30 start, you know, maybe like give or take a couple. And I was like, ah, yeah, that's fine. And I get the call time before it's like 7:30 a.m.
Oh,
I don't know.
The old switch.
Yeah, the old
classic Hollywood trick.
Bait and switch.
The old, can you be there 9:30? We really mean 7:30. Hollywood tricky place.
Yeah. But we're here today. We made it in. Any shows to plug? Let's get in.
What's going on? I did Jokes Please last night, which is every Thursday at the Little Mountain Gallery.
Just put that... put that over there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll just, go on.
All right. Which is a great show. And I would suggest it to anybody who is around on Thursday nights. It's like $5. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And then coming up on Monday, I have something on Monday. I made a note of it because, you know, I was like, I want to promote it. It's good. It is, let me see, Waterfront Comedy at the Princeton Pub.
Okay, cool.
Simon King headlining, one of Vancouver's own.
Nice.
And so that'll be a lot of fun. And then I think Thursday, you and I are both in the Yuck Yucks competition.
Whoa, is that Thursday?
Yeah, that's Thursday.
Wow, I should be more prepared. Okay, well, yeah, if you want to come out. Oh, no, Thursday, because I switched dates.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I made a little strategic. I was like, there's way too many good people in.
The classic, I'm not going to get through this. Where's an
easier day? But I kind of want to go watch. Like, that's going to be a heated battle. I'm really curious to see which three people.
It's going
to
be, it's kind of a toss-up. It's a lot of good people.
It's one of those situations where you got to have the attitude. You know, if I lose, I'm losing to somebody good.
Yeah, and I mean, that's any competition, though, I think.
Well, is it when it's audience vote?
I'm saying that because I'm being positive about comedy competitions.
A terrible idea.
Yeah, it's just go in and have the best set you can.
Well, I will be at Jaeger's on Monday.
Okay.
I wanted to plug that. That is a show in Kits at Jaeger's, and I will be hosting. There's so many good people on that show, like some of my favorite local people, and John Bueller headlining. So I'm thinking that would be a fun place to be on Monday. And if you're there, please come by. Say hi. Say, what's going on? I heard you.
Actually, open with, just don't say anything, but walk right up to Alex and go, Vancouver, right? Just do that.
Or you can just be like, you need to be on set right now.
Yeah.
And they'll have like a little panic attack. I also work at the Vogue. I think I've brought that up a couple times. Love that place.
Yeah.
Great team of people there. Sometimes I walk around and just kind of, you know, make sure everything's. I'm a security guard.
Okay. I thought you were an extra.
Host security guard. Yeah.
The Vogue.
I'm a rung below extra. No, it's actually really great. But
do you have good security stories?
Yeah. But the other night, I was, there was this group of like Argentinian rhythm. Like a rhythm group, like they danced and like, we're going to tap dance. That's a little rhythm. We're going to spin these chains. That's a little rhythm.
And they were just in the audience, right? Just being noisy.
No, this was the act. This isn't one of the good security stories. This is, but in between their very loud rhythm songs, it was silence, you know, applause, silence.
Okay.
Well, pretty much any show. I don't know why I'm explaining song, silent song. That's how a show works.
Yeah, typically.
And in between two of the songs, I tripped over a large metal ramp and humiliated myself in front of many people.
In front of Argentina's number one rhythm band.
Oh, they were, people were riffing off it. They were like, was that part of the show? You trying to do your own rhythm? And then and they were doing callbacks later. Like, oh. Get up there.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
This guy's tripping out. And everyone was just loving it.
That's embarrassing. How do you have any jobs at all? I don't understand.
Well, when I was young, I was fired from a lot of jobs.
What's a place you've been fired from?
Pick a place that a person would work.
Subway.
That's maybe the one place I didn't work. I worked at a video store, a lumber yard.
How did you get fired from the video store?
Well, that was back in the day where, like, you had to...
For people listening, a video store is, like, a place... Let's start there.
Yeah, video stores really got fired from the world.
Just existing entirely.
Yeah.
There is so much overconfident Blockbuster money. Like, they just thought that gravy train would never end.
Yeah. Yes. So did Starbucks. But I feel like people always say, like, oh man, Starbucks, they're really failing now, or Blockbuster really losers.
Do people say Starbucks are failing?
It's over. They're on the downslide. They're having to close. But you know what? They made so much profit during the boom. Like, the people that are millionaires from Blockbuster, billionaires probably, I don't think they're doing too sad right now.
I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think they
I'd like to think someone fully... Like,
somebody phone in who has answers to this, please.
604-UBC-CITR. That is 604-822-2487. And let us know what happened. I was actually reading about that a little while ago.
Okay.
And like what was the last movie rented from Blockbuster? Yeah. I wanted to know all
that.
There
had to have been a guy in the world who has that title.
It was This Is the End. That,
really?
That, what... I want to say Seth Rogen. I want to say Joe Rogan. I was like, Joe Rogan isn't in that movie.
But what if he was? That was great.
Yeah.
That would be great. I would watch that movie.
Joe Rogan should be in more movies.
I don't think he cares. I don't think he wants to do that. So.
Right.
It just isn't.
Sorry. Yeah, who am I to say what he should be doing?
We'll get him on the line.
This time.
Maybe Mark knows him. We'll get Mark to put a line into him.
Put a line into him.
Just
okay.
Say, look, Alex thinks you should be in more movies.
Yeah, let's exploit the 6 degrees of see, now that if Mark does call in, this will be like... Like, we have 4 degrees of... Because I bet he knows some people in L.A. And like, we're getting way closer to Kevin Bacon, who will be calling in hopefully eventually as well. On the way
you
here...
You just have to be an extra on a Kevin Bacon film and say, hey, man, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but...
Yeah, you could go right to the source.
Right. It could happen.
That's true. Wow. I was on the way here reading the news as I do on the bus, trying to find, okay, what are we going to talk about today? What's going on? And big mistake. Not a lot of happy comedy-fueled stuff going on. Really depressing.
Yeah, that's the world.
Obama meets Hiroshima survivors.
Nothing funny there.
Scroll down, and there's a chart of... I was like, well, that was terrible that they dropped those bombs. And they show a comparison of the size of the bombs they dropped to the ones that they developed over the next few years that now we have.
That are just sitting around... Just waiting to someone to fall asleep on that button.
There's like a padlock and an analog switch.
There's like a Blockbuster card.
Do not touch.
Like holding them just open. There's the copy of This Is the End propping open the door to that room.
Hey, all right, is this your first time? Yeah, I'm totally new. Okay, you're going to be overlooking a lot of bombs.
Yeah.
These wires, if they touch, it means Armageddon. So don't. Why don't we just cut or put something between the... We don't have the budget for that right now. War is not... Yeah, we're looking into, you know, agriculture. We could, brother got to eat, you know? So, anyway, don't press that button. There's a lot of red switches and wires in here. If any of them touch, bomb goes off.
I feel like any room that has bombs in it has a lot of blinking lights.
Yes. But we actually didn't...
constantly blinking.
We didn't have the budget... for the blinking, so all the lights are actually off right now, but some of them are blinking, you just can't see it. So try to learn the pattern of which ones are on and which ones aren't.
We have some tape that we've put over the buttons that you're not supposed to, just regular tape with a pen that says do not touch.
Could you have used maybe like duct tape? It looks like
this isn't some fancy resort here. This is just a missile silo that controls 75 nuclear bombs, okay? We use regular scotch tape here because we're Americans.
I was reading about it and I was looking at the chart and have you ever, when you were young, you'd be like, well, the Earth is a pretty big planet. And then you would look at the sun and be like, you know, the sun can actually fit.
Because when I was a kid, I was really stupid and I talked like that.
Yeah. the sun can fit 1,000 of those little dots into it. And you're like, whoa, the sun is much bigger. Like if the Earth is a pea, the sun is like a grapefruit circle.
Okay.
That's the Russians,
for you already.
The Russians made this bomb called the Tsar Bomba. And it's like, it's like 1,000 times bigger than the Hiroshima bomb.
Really?
And they detonated it. Yeah.
Why isn't Russia number one in the world? Way to go, guys. Pat yourself on the back for that.
I mean, I think if we were doing this show in Russia, the opinion would be a little different. But yeah, and we would have to play very different music. But yeah, bad news. Bad news if there's ever going to be World War III. We're going out in style, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty cool.
It's going to be pandemonium real quick and then just nothing forever.
Oh, man.
Good note. See, this is why we can't read the news in the morning.
So I was like, all right, well, that's...
That one's out.
That's a bummer. And there was like a slideshow of like articles from Nagasaki. You got to turn this bus around. I'm going back home. So the next article I clicked, human trafficking.
Oh.
There's a lot more of it than I knew.
right after yeah. Nuclear death of everything.
How could this get any worse? Well, if you survive the apocalypse... we have a couple pimps that have some open slots.
Yeah, that's no nothing good there either.
Not at all. But I made it in, and this is my job. You know, we're professionals. We can't just be sad and come in and not do a show. We've got to do it.
We just, despite all the horrible things going on in the world, which apparently are all the news articles.
Now, if only I could finish the food in my fridge. You ever do that? You ever buy stuff and then you don't eat it?
No, actually, not since I've lived here. I like,
you just don't buy food.
I just do as much can fit into one bag, and then I just make sure I eat everything before I go get new stuff.
Oh.
I got to very like sad single guy fridge levels though last week, right, where it was just like two
you could
apples.
Have just said sad guy. I think we assume
it was just like two apples and then like nine beers. I was like, that's not a good proportion of things in my fridge.
To give you guys a visual here, Roman has an Alberta Hail and Crop Insurance Corporation.
Great vintage already. People are like, yep, that guy's stylish.
A Bowie t-shirt, black pants, and a great bushy beard. So actually, I think I'm not really... You should have several girlfriends.
I have like roughly 8 or 9 at this point.
And I should get on that food plan, because what I do is I go to the store and I go, what fine seasonal vegetables will I be cooking up this? And I get like all the greens, and I'm going to be healthy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be making some intricate meals.
Smoothies.
I'm going to have some dinner parties. And then I get home and suddenly all those items that previously were just stoking my imagination are just rotting. It's just a countdown to throw out and beat myself up day.
Yeah, I threw out a lot of avocados last week because I was like, I was really overestimating how many avocados a person can eat in like a week.
Yeah, and the
answer is about 1.5.
That's not true. You're a rookie. See, what you got to do with avocados, you got to have some avocado toast every day.
Okay.
It's delicious.
I don't have a toaster, and I'm not sure if the oven works, so it's really...
I mean, you know, you can actually buy toasters. They're not that expensive.
Look, do you get them at a Blockbuster? Where do you get a toaster one of these days?
London Drugs. Yeah.
Okay.
I bought an alarm clock the other day. I got so...
What are you, an alarm clock?
I have one on my phone, but I got so concerned.
Use it like a regular human being. That's what I did. I had an alarm clock and I never used it because I was like, I'm always holding my phone. Why do I have to have a separate clock for this?
You hold your phone while you sleep?
Yeah, in case someone tries to break it and steal it. why are you making me sound
weird? I got a crowbar in one hand and a phone in the other.
You know,
do you have a weapon like in case somebody breaks into your place? Like some people have like a baseball bat.
Some people have the power to ball up and cry. I mean, I think that's a really good... That's a powerful weapon.
Yeah, and then you'll be like...
I'm in a newer place, so like I don't know the house noises yet. So like the other night I was like, either someone is breaking in or that's just the house moving. Like, you know, like that's just the windows rustling or someone is breaking in right now. And so what I did was I just went back to sleep and said, this will sort itself out.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like either someone's going to... What is someone going to steal from my place?
I don't know, man. We'll be back soon. This is Destroyer, Chinatown, Great Vancouver Band. Stay tuned, 101.9. Talking to
to the sea. I heard that someone said it before. I don't care, I can't walk away. I can't walk away in Chinatown. You try to explain a government swallowed up in the squall. I can't walk away at all. Somebody said it before. I know you and I know the score. I can't walk away. You can't walk away. 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 I can't walk away.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
This is from the soundtrack of Ravenous, the movie with Guy Pearce that we were talking about, because I was walking around behind Guy Pearce on set, and that's my biggest accomplishment in the entertainment industry so far. Great soundtrack to that movie, though.
It's about vampires?
Cannibals.
Cannibals.
Yeah.
An often neglected group.
Totally.
Not a lot of cannibal movies.
Underrated. Well, hopefully we'll have Mark Norman calling in a bit. It's always a little bit of a gamble when you book comedians because they've been traveling, busy night before.
Yeah.
They say, sure, I'd love to wake up and do a radio thing. And then they, you know.
That's how I felt this morning when I was like, I agreed to do this. Oh, man, I really didn't want to get out of bed.
Totally.
But I have a whole day of nothing, so this is a good way to make myself feel productive before noon. And then after that, if I do anything, it's really like, wow, I really crushed today.
Well, either way, you know, you'll either have a great comedian calling in, or you'll have...
stories about Blockbuster.
Yeah, two comedians. Let's be honest. It would be a lot better if he called in. But we'll do our best. We'll do our best.
Sound more needy there.
Yeah.
So, during the break, I think it's worth talking about, you leaned over and said... hey, what's that vampire movie that girls really like? And I was like, without missing a beat, I was like, Twilight. I know what that is.
Yeah.
Like, not even a second hesitation there.
Well, because there's a song from the first movie that I really like. So I'm gonna play that after our next commercial break. Thanks for ruining the surprise.
Well, you know what? It was worth it. It was worth, I think, for that small moment, it was worth it.
All right. Well, we're still in the mix here. We've talked about food going bad in the fridge.
Yep.
Being
it's
on
been both
set.
Entertaining and informative at this point.
We've talked about avocados and Hiroshima.
If someone wants to call in with how many avocados they eat in a week.
Oh, but I was going to finish my thought. Yeah. Okay. So you wait until you can take the top stem part off and then the avocado is soft kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put them all in the fridge.
Okay.
And they last a week in the fridge, but you have to get them in the fridge when they're ripe. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I'm just picturing it, and it's so...
Once it goes into the fridge, if it's unripe, by the time it's in the fridge, it won't ripen anymore.
Okay.
But you've got a week, so if you buy... I feel like you're not listening. I feel like you're not taking this in. And you should be.
I just imagine someone just tuning in at that moment, and they're like, is this the avocado fridge show? What's going on here? Is this... just right at that moment. They're like, I'm going to try this out. And then it's just two guys talking about putting produce in the fridge.
Right. Well, you can call in, of course, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And what else is happening with you? Anything?
Not much, really. I mean, it's pretty uneventful. We're talking about, as a comedian, filling your days. I was like, so it's really tough. It's just sometimes so difficult to fill up your day when you have nothing better going on. I got a very exciting email in the break there. It's an email from Netflix saying my Netflix membership might be canceled. I have to look into that. Yeah,
that's terrible.
I know, right? There's some problem with my credit card, and I've been too lazy to look into it. So right. If that happens, where am I going to stream all of the worst? I think like what I love about Netflix is just the shows that no one is watching.
Yeah.
So, like, all the weird documentaries that if you scroll down the bottom of the page, you can find all the weird National Geographic shows. That's really what I love about Netflix. Just, like, I wish that was an option on the top page. Like, here's a show no one's watched. It's been on here for a long time, and not a single person has watched it. That's my TV of choice these days.
Yeah.
Like, Soviet Revolution in color in four parts. Oh, my God. I could watch that two or three times.
You would think you would have a little bit more to chime in on when I was talking about the Tsar Bomba, since you've been boning up on all your...
No, my Russian history only goes till like 1919. That's about it.
Oh, okay.
After that, I'm out.
Because nothing important happened.
I don't know. Was there a thing with Russia? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, countless lives lost, the changing of political philosophy. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal.
Well, it matters to the Russians.
What have been some of the highlights from your history lesson there with Russia then?
Well, it's cold there. That's a big takeaway from...
Right.
Yeah, a lot of cold. That's about it. That's it. Those honestly are some of my favorite internet videos. You could go down that rabbit hole for 2 or 3 days.
I watched World War II in color for a while. That was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like...
You ever thought that, like, it's so impressive?
Oh, we've got a call coming right in here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Al.
Hey, buddy, it's Mark Norman, right?
This is he. Sorry, my manager didn't... He left a digit off the number. I had to try all the numbers, so I got to 7.
How many did it take you before you got there? Did you go from 1?
Yeah, there was no 7 on the end on his email, so I just kept doing, you know, 841, 842, 843, and then I got to 7, and
oh my God.
You're on the air, so there you go.
That's a lot of dedication, thank you. It's also very romantic. That's from, like, a 90s Tom Hanks, like, I tried every digit. It got to 8 before I was... Well, yeah, thank you.
Was that for Tom Hanks? I had no idea.
Yeah, that is... I forget what movie, but it's from one of those, like, You've Got Mail or... But anyway, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. I'm in Vancouver. I'm a little hungover. I'm in downtown. I love it here.
Yeah, it was actually, I heard you, I've caught you on Sirius several times on Opie and Jim there. And I remember on a recent, on a recent show, maybe I won't name the comic because, but someone was saying that you shouldn't stay in the Comedy Mixes hotel that's attached to it. They gave you a little insider tip. So did you take the plunge? Are you staying at that hotel, or did they put you up at the Sheraton or something?
I'm staying at that hotel. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a low maintenance guy. I think it's fine. I'm here. I'm loving it.
Yeah, it was. I remember when I heard that, I was like, you know, I think that hotel is pretty nice. So, you know, a little bit of diva going on there.
Fine. But. It's not like the Ritz, but this is, you know. You should see my apartment at home, so this is a step up for sure.
For sure. We're here with my buddy Roman, a local comedian. Say hi, Roman.
Hi, Roman. Ah, did it.
Ugh.
Great, right?
I'm going to turn his mic off. Great job on Conan on Monday.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was fun. Big 4.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What does that mean? Your fourth time, you mean? Or?
Yeah, fourth time doing it.
Oh, cool, man. I've heard that when you do spots like that, it's really hard to, like, slow. I think Louis was talking about that in an interview or something like that, that he had to force himself to slow way down. Is that is that kind of a thing? Is it like, wow, I feel like I'm going super slow, but and then you see it and you're like, wow, I wasn't going slow at all.
Yeah, I feel like the set went well. That was the only problem. I think I went too fast a little in the beginning. And I remember consciously being on stage at Conan going, slow down, you idiot, slow down. And I couldn't slow down because it's so much adrenaline.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, I would be talking 10 times faster.
Yeah, I had to tell myself that like 4 times during the set. But it's such a rush. And I've done the show 4 times, so they let me get away with a lot more. I don't know if you saw the set. It's pretty edgy.
I did. I was going to say that ender is hilarious. I told like a few people that joke during the day. I was like, oh, I heard a great joke, and I killed in like 4 different conversations by telling
all
that
right.
joke. But I always plugged your name. I didn't try to take credit for it. But yeah, it is a little bit, I mean, it's got the racial stuff. And so was Conan
right.
pretty chill about, because I know some other late nights can really heavily edit the content.
Well, yeah, like Jimmy Fallon is insane. You can't say anything. Letterman was crazy. Letterman, you couldn't say homeless. Like, there's all these dumb rules.
What did Fallon?
They want you to go on. They want you,
what did Fallon edit?
Well, Fallon just turned my whole thing down. He was like, "This is all out of. This is crazy. What are you nuts? You can't say any of this." So, yeah, and then they're like, "They want you to kill," but then you're like, "Well, you're not letting me be myself."
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying, "Hey, go. You're an artist. Go." Do your thing, but don't do the thing that you do. Do it like us. And you're like, well, that's not me. And you're hiring me. So, yeah, Fallon said no. But Conan is the number one. First of all, it's cable. And their booker, this guy J.P. Buck, is amazing. He lets anything slide. As long as it's funny and original, he lets it on, basically. And you got to love that. That's kind of a dying thing. So we all want to do Conan. All the comics love doing Conan because he lets you be yourself the most.
That's really cool. Your voice, like even on the phone, it's so, you have a very specific way of like delivering sentences. And I think that, I mean, like throughout the 80s and 90s, people would always say that about Regan, that like, oh, I can't even listen to Brian Regan because I'll start doing his voice. I'm just a big idiot, right. You know? And I feel like you're going to be the next guy where it's like, oh man, like this guy's doing Normand. Like, and you'll start to hear that all over.
That is,
so
that's bad news for the public.
Yeah.
Voice.
You're a virus.
But yeah, I know four people who are doing Regan right now. I think Bill Burr's got a little Regan in him. No one calls him out for that. Gaffigan has a lot of Regan. Pete Holmes is doing Regan. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Regan out there.
Right.
He's such a huge influence. And Dave Attell's another one. Everybody sounds like Dave Attell in New York.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it'd be a compliment to have people do me, but I don't know. I want to keep this
under wraps
voice for myself.
I definitely find that, like, to cut you off, but, like, I definitely find that before a show, like, I really want to avoid watching other comedy because, like, you just, if it's good, you just kind of naturally pick that inflection up a lot of the times.
Totally. I was just in Melbourne doing the Melbourne Comedy Fest, and it was so crazy because girls would be like, oh, my God, your voice is so sexy, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
I went to Australia, too, and they talked about, like, girls would approach you and be like, I love your accent. I'm like, this is normal. This is what it's supposed to sound like. This is baseline for normal. Everyone else has an accent.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm so used to all this normal. It's so... okay. Oh, what are you doing, mate? That's all. Yeah, it's bizarre. But do you ever get where you just, like, you get a flash of, like, whoa, I heard my accent there?
Yeah.
Like, for a moment, you kind of go outside your own mind, and you're like, I sound like an idiot.
When I'm overseas and I say the word Canada,
right,
it just becomes the most, like the most stereotypically Canadian thing.
Well, we should ask Mark, like, do we sound goofy? Like, I always hear people do Canadian impressions, you know, and it's like this, hey, how's it going? Like, do we have that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Totally. Yeah.
Great.
Right when I got on the phone, I was like, well, look at these fucking, oh, shit. Look at these Canadians.
I like how he swears, and then he swears again. But we're so sorry about that, Mark. We're so sorry.
That's really our fault.
Yeah, we're sorry about that.
For making you do that.
No, it's adorable. I love the Canadian accent. It's so folksy.
Well, speaking of adorable, you're all about putting up the numbers. I heard you got out of a relationship, and you've been... Bumbling and Tindering and all sorts of shenanigans. So, I mean, it is more on radio, so we can't get into the nitty gritty, but, you know, good luck in Vancouver, I will say. I hope that we treat you well.
Do you have a preferred app? Is there an app that people don't know about that you're on now? Or
do you guys have Bumble here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, I know you don't have Uber, which was a shock. I got off the airplane. I was like, what? No Uber.
That's right.
But, yeah, it's weird. You got health care, gay marriage, and you can't get an immigrant to drive a town car. But, just the Bumble's the way to go because the girl has to initiate. It's unbelievable.
That's like a Twilight Zone.
It's crazy, yeah.
A big one here, Mark, is Happn, where you have to walk by them, and it's like wow, what a coincidence. We've crossed paths four times because I've been following you. But, you know, did you hear I just did Mark's voice? Like, I'm starting to do that. Oh, my God, it's Happn.
The Happn seems too creepy to me. Like, I've passed you eight times. I don't know. It seems serial killer-y to me, like stalkery.
Right.
But I'm down. I'll try it.
So we got a couple more questions for you. Thanks so much for talking to us. Let's plug your weekend shows. Did you do a show last night, or is it starting tonight?
Did a show last night, and I got to tell you, I was nervous, but it was almost full. It was almost sold out. I couldn't believe it, and the crowd was hot. My material is a little racial, a little edgy, a little gay, a little, social commentary, and they stayed on board. It was amazing. So come on out, folks. I love that club.
Yeah, Comedy Mix is a great, great club, and you will be doing some shows tonight. What time's the first one? Probably 8:30.
I believe it's 8 and 10:30.
All right.
And tomorrow it's 8 and 10:30.
And you've got my boy Chris James, I believe, is your feature. Very funny lad.
Is he a nervous pothead?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's him. Great guy.
Yeah. All right. He's a big fan of yours. I think he. I don't know if he'd want me telling you this, but he's. He I think asked for the show specifically because he's a big fan. So
that's nice.
Don't play him at FIFA. That guy is an amazing real life soccer player. You wouldn't think it because of all the nervousness and pot, but yeah, really good at kicking the ball.
Okay,
I'm being so redundant here. I really apologize. He probably wants some breakfast and peace of mind. But thanks for the the dating advice. I'm actually coming to the show tonight with Roman, so.
Oh, great. Come say hello. Come to the green room. Say hello.
Can't wait.
And then quickly leave.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I'll be like, hey, Mark, how's it going? I'm just going to leave, man. I'm sorry. This is
come say hi.
Big pleasure, man. Watch his Conan clip. See him at the Comedy Mix this weekend and follow him. What's your Twitter?
It's @MarkNorm. And I got Instagram @MarkNorman. So, yeah. And come say hi, come say hello, and let's
message,
get all to happen.
Yeah, message him on Bumble. Have a great morning, man. See ya.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
There you have it, Mark Normand. That was a lot of fun. How cute is that? That he's like, they left off a number. I've had girls do that before, and then I'm like, oh man, she did it on purpose.
I feel again like that's another thing that people just won't get, like Blockbuster earlier. Like people just won't get that anymore. That rarely happens, like where you have a phone number like that, like gotten off. No one's like written down a phone number for me in like a really long time.
Yeah, a girl. Once I wrote a poem for a girl.
God, you and, become the more you talk, the lamer you get. It's so like unbelievable.
I mean, we've got so far to go. You and I, you're gonna get lost in this mind together. I wrote a. Do you want to hear the poem?
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Was it recently? It was like yesterday. You wrote a poem. I thought this would have been like I was in the fourth grade.
No, not at all. I even made a poetry blog at one point.
Oh my God.
I know, it's pathetic. It's the worst. And
you got into comedy because you're just tired of getting beaten up by people, right? Or
yeah, it's like, hey, I can you now. I'm just funny. It's like, no, you're not. You're bombing. but this is, I mean, the great thing is that I have bipolar disorder.
Oh, so this is the like sensitive.
So.
Polar.
Well, no, I can
is
use that.
What you
as
call them? Is that you have two polars? And then
I can use that as an excuse.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can.
Way to really raise the flag for mental health there.
Yeah, yeah. Use your condition as an excuse. Make sure that. Okay, so I went into this cafe.
Yeah.
Had a sandwich. The girl that brought it was very cute. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna write this poem for her. I left it on a little napkin or something.
Oh my, this is the worst. She quit that day. She's like, I don't care. I'm moving back in my
parents. She quit life. My heart spins to see another between worlds, a poet between breaths, a forest between trees.
Do we all have diabetes now from how sweet that was? Is that okay? So if people can't find this poetry blog,
I'm not plugging my poetry blog.
Okay, but just to comment on it, like, do you ever do something like that where you're like in the moment, you're like you're really committed to this idea? You're
yes,
like, I'm gonna write a poetry blog.
I
and
do.
Then, like 15 minutes later, you're like, what was the dumbest idea I've ever had?
And then it's yeah, and then you never update it again. It's one entry.
Yeah,
that's like the website for this radio show. I'm like, I need to pay for VancouverWrite.com because, oh man, everybody's gonna want that.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna want that, and yeah, I never did anything. It's a white page. Actually, I think I just and then I forget to. I'm going off track. Anyway, so I wrote the poem.
Yeah,
she
didn't fall madly in love with you, which is weird.
She
may so have, is, and then you
is,
left. You
this
should have
waited
around.
This is what happened.
Okay,
she. I wrote my email on it, and then I left, and then she didn't call. She didn't get in touch, and I had the nerve. To go back.
Oh my God.
To go back to be like, hey, I didn't get an email from you. What's going on? And then when I went back, she was like, oh my God, I lost the poem. Like it blew out of my pocket as I was walking home. And then she did.
That was the best she could do in that moment.
But the crazy thing is, we did actually go on a date.
And is it because she was afraid of you at that point?
And we hooked
she's
up.
Like, she knows where yeah. He knows where I work. And now I'm super scared. And I feel like that's why, probably.
I went through this.
So this actually worked, though, in all seriousness. This weird poem thing worked.
I mean, yeah, the silver lining is we made out. It's great.
Oh, my God. Man, fourth grade was tough.
No, man, this was like 3 years ago. and then I came on too strong and really creeped her out. And
did you write a longer poem? Because you wrote a haiku this time.
But let's end it. See, if that was a movie, we would end at, after we made out.
Yeah.
Credits.
Credits roll.
But there, believe me, there's a sequel.
There's a scene it's of you in the back as the background actor just looking straight in the camera.
I love you so much. I feel like we've only... I know we've only been on, like, 2 dates. But I've got an ocean of poetry inside me. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. Hope you enjoyed that interview. We will be back very soon. Don't go anywhere.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM with Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
We're live and we're getting a phone call right away here, so excuse me while I turn that on. Hello, how are you? Hello, you're live on the air. All right, and they've hung up.
Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for Vancouver, right? With your hosts, Alex Biron and Simon Armstrong. News, music, personal stories, and everything you need to know about the local comedy scene. What else would you be doing at 10 a.m. on a Friday? Well, you're probably at work, and if you have the day off, you've already made plans. It doesn't matter. Just be there and call in anytime.
Heartache, Rod and Avocados, and great interviews. Everything that Vancouver Right is all about.
Poetry.
Yeah.
Of the highest sort.
You want to hear one more of my poems, maybe?
I mean, I think the viewership wants to hear it.
All right. Yeah, if you're just tuning in, I went through a manic episode where I decided I was going to be a poet and have a poetry blog. And some of them are still up there. So...
all of them.
You want to hear? See, I don't know how well this is going to translate because these poems aren't really bad. I mean, they're awful, but they're not bad enough to be
Yeah, they're not like they're not funny, ironic. It's just like it's like you're actually trying to be a poet.
It's like, wow, you actually wrote a poem.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not like your Roger Ebert rap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So maybe let's leave that. The other ones are a little bit too low. Well, no, let's do one.
Let's do one.
This is so.
And let's put the question out there. If you were a barista at a coffee place and you saw this on a napkin, would you respond?
Or file a restraining order. Can you file a restraining order when you don't know the person's name? Like, this guy came in. I don't want that person near me anymore.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't talked. Yeah, I just want to make sure. It's a preemptive restraining order.
It's like, listen, just get him on your radar because it's going to be. Fill out 90% of the paperwork, and when I need it, I'll just cross the I's and dot the T's.
Yeah, exactly. He's a male. He's okay. This one's called The Wake. I need you like the sun needs eyes to be bright. I keep my distance for lifetimes. Heedful of the madness your presence creates. Mindful of the wake your hull leaves in the clear water. It's been so long since I've felt the corners of your warm body embrace my left side. It's been so long since I've heard the universe's laugh at how tender a woman can be. I can only take so much of this poem, God. I can only take so much before breaking like a fever, overcome with the body's will to live.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, I'll be honest, that one really...
Ugh.
Oh, God.
I feel like I have a head cold from that.
It's just like... Like, if I was like, write the cheesiest poem you could write right now, I feel like that would come out. But then also that sort of sounds like a real poem. I feel like that's what it would sound like.
It's like someone trying really hard.
Yeah, really, really hard.
Yeah.
But just not having the skills to get there.
Thanks, dude.
Well, I mean, listen, stick to radio, stick to comedies. Not, you don't have to do that. Radio, just, maybe background acting.
You just don't want
to
face me in the later rounds of the Yuck Off.
I'm not the one who was like, there's too many good people. I better get out of this week. I was like, listen, I'll just do it and see what happens.
I mean, I didn't leave just because there's a lot of.
What are the other reasons?
Good people. I mean, we don't need to go into them. Scheduling conflict.
There's no other reason.
See, I might have shot myself in the foot, though, because in my week that I'm in now, June 16th, it's all people like I've never heard of. Which is good. And yet I think that those people are going to bring like all their friends and family to support them. But usually if you do good, you're going to get first, second, or third anyway. Like, if you're going to get some votes if you're a standout. So
yeah, if you
really
do well enough. But there's definitely people, like, the people that you haven't been doing as long will bring more people. But if you do well enough, it should usually power you to. Like, back in Ottawa last year, I didn't bring people until the final round. And I made it through the whole way to the final round, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
And there, I was on shows with people who brought a lot of people.
How good does that feel?
It's honestly.
Just look at their.
I don't know. Like, if people can't relate to this because, like, they don't know what it's like.
I can give an analogy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear it.
It's like when you've been. Well, this is like really sinister. Like, we're not horrible serial killers.
Okay.
But if you were.
Well, let's not.
I'll speak for myself.
Yeah. I mean.
If you like killed a bunch of people and then all all their families were in court. And it was like a long, arduous trial, and they're looking at, and then you got off, like you get off, you're found innocent. They can't convict you. And then as you're walking to the door, you just look at all the families, and just smile. Like,
I would never have used that analogy. I would have said it's like when you write a creepy poem on a napkin and leave it for an employee of a business. And she actually emails you. That's what I would have said. It's like,
yeah, it's somehow like,
it's like when you're working at a Blockbuster.
Maybe she was manic too. Like, that's what you never think of. You think, man, I'm ruining my life because I had this manic episode. And, you know, there's other people out there that are also manic. And if your paths meet, you can live in that world forever.
I actually want to clear up. No, you're the only one and it's only you. And this is what you're going through.
Oh, no.
Put that thought in your head.
Okay, it's there already. Believe me. Believe me. I can't feel any more alone than I am now.
Actually, a better analogy is just like there's people that want to do that competition, any competition, because they want to feel like, oh, I won, and here are all my friends, and they want to feel the popularity. And there's other people that are just committed to doing the work.
Yeah.
And so when you get through it and you've brought no one, it's like, oh, the work part is going well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, notice I explained that without being like, oh, it's like when you kill a bunch of people and their family is all like crying.
You know when you're cutting off people's skin and that there's that hard patch that's hard and like, but this is like a really good skin, you know, and you're making quilts out of people's, but what are you talking about?
No, that's not what it's like at all.
It was interesting, Mark talking about the mix.
Yeah.
And saying like he was a little bit nervous. He does this racy material. I feel like Vancouver crowds are, they're PC in the sense that if something's hacky,
yeah,
if it's not funny and it's like,
which is
edgy,
I think,
at all, they won't give you any room. But I think that's kind of a good thing.
That's honestly why I think great comics come out of here. I mean, that when I was moving here, that was the word about Vancouver was the audiences are very like, they're very PC, and I have not found that at all to be true. It's just that they're good comedy audiences. They want a good. They don't want to give you an easy laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think some other audiences will respond to like the hackier stuff, and then
when you leave Vancouver, does this ever happen to you? Or like you leave that pocket of like smart people,
and
then you go to like
this is why people hate Vancouver. Also, they're like, dude, all the smart people are here, and then the dumb people live on the fringes.
It goes both ways, but you go to a town and like you'll be on a show, and you're watching like a local comic kill with really like hacky, truly offensive stuff.
Yeah.
And like, wow, they can get away with way more crappy comedy here. And like, it's just drunk people. And then you try a well set up joke or what you think is a well set, and it just doesn't work at all. And it's like, man, I need to lower the brows here.
I was doing a show and it's like, hey, you guys remember the movie Ravenous from the 1990s?
Yeah. I mean, how
not
are you not getting my references?
A single person understood that. No, it's like, I don't think like, Vancouver audiences are great. I mean, they're smart too, and they know stuff, and like they're just not willing to give you that easy laugh, which is great in the long run. And also, I think the whole, I don't know how you feel about, have you talked about the whole like PC thing at length on here?
A bit, yeah.
I just don't think it's a real thing. I'm not afraid of it at all. I don't think about it at all. Like, I really don't.
Because I feel like if you really get heat, that means that you're successful enough that the important people are coming after you, and it won't affect you anyway. And other than that,
well, I don't think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
No, I mean, I've
who's
known,
had their career ruined recently because of PC?
I know guys personally that have gotten corporate gigs dropped because of like minor blog stuff.
Oh,
but well,
there you go. Apparently, I just don't book enough gigs to feel the effect.
I don't know. It's just like I don't think about it at all. I just think it's like the amount of people I think that complain about stuff being too politically correct, like versus the amount of people it's actually affecting, is just way out. Like the balance isn't there at all. Do you think about that at all when you write a joke? Like, are you like, this might, someone might be offended by this?
No, because I would like to feel, I do feel most of the time, and I would like to feel that they can see the person behind the joke, mm-hmm. and see that, you know, there's no like hate or ignorance there.
Yeah.
And that the joke is, just a joke. Like, that's the definition of joke, right? Is that?
Is it? I don't know.
It's, I wonder what the definition of joke is.
I would have no idea what that is.
We're really good comedians. That's really funny. Like, it's hard to define joke.
I have no idea what it is.
Here, I'm going to bring up the definition, and even the Google dictionary definition of it sounds really bad. Joke: a thing that someone says to cause amusement or laughter. See, but I don't feel like that's really a great definition of it. It doesn't go very deep. I mean, I guess
it
is.
Should say a thing someone says at a bar to cause offense to whoever is near to them.
See, this is the problem with... Okay, I Googled that. Urban Dictionary joke. Now, this is urban... Oh, because it's Urban Dictionary. This is their example of what a joke is. What does a big fat white woman and a brick have in common? Sooner or later, they will both be laid by a Mexican. See,
Donald Trump's campaign writing all the Urban Dictionary.
When I go to Chilliwack, somebody will say a joke like that, and it will destroy.
Boom! Put on throwing heat at Chilliwack. Is that what?
Yeah.
Throwing shade. That's what people saying.
Put on. What did you say? Put on heat.
Put on heat. Throwing on heat. Throwing heat is what I said.
Throwing heat.
But
speaking of throwing heat,
It'd be interesting if somebody turned on the radio right when I delivered that joke.
Yeah.
with no context and just heard that
exactly
joke.
Exactly. Right as the preamble before is like, I think Vancouver gets like, yeah. They don't want to give you like a dumb laugh over like a hacky joke. Right as we had talked that preamble, and then Urban Dictionary comes in with such a like hacky,
yeah,
offensive joke, and then someone just flicked it on right there.
I mean, I got to be honest, for a hacky street joke, that was pretty funny actually.
There's time where you're like, yeah, you're not laughing.
There's a time and place for that joke.
Because it's not because it's funny, but because it's like so,
yeah.
Like I don't know. It's just like so effusively offensive that it like causes a reaction.
Yeah, I mean, like that's a mean joke.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the person.
But
who,
it's crafted also. Like it's a crafted.
It's well crafted joke.
That's,
yeah,
that's the problem.
That's the thing that people argue about, is that people would say it's a terrible joke. Well, no, it's not a terrible joke. It's a good street joke.
Yeah.
It's just an offensive street joke. Yeah. And it doesn't belong in someone's, stand-up comedy act for the most part.
Exactly.
So we've covered a lot of ground. Anything else you want to talk about or plug before we?
Waterfront comedy on Monday. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I have coming up. Princeton Pub, I believe it's called.
Have you been there before?
No, I've not been there before, but that's, I'm excited because, again, Simon King, Vancouver favorite, one of the best. Honestly, I mean, Simon's amazing, I think. There's no one like him.
Simon King, yeah.
Yeah.
He was at Finch and Barley with me the other, I should say I was with Simon. Yeah, he was.
He was with there. He was
following
me. I mean,
he was
doing
know?
More time than I was, and he was on the poster and everything, but he was with me.
Yeah, that was a really fun show.
That's in North Vancouver, is
yeah.
that?
A Finch and Bar. It's a hard show to get on because they don't put a lot of people on the show, and yeah. It only happens once a month. And I don't think you're even supposed to message him about it. He just contacts you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool. You get to take the C bus out to North Van, and then suddenly you're in this. And they have a huge bison head there. And I was just transfixed by this. Like, I don't think I would ever have taxidermy in my home because I'm already like really on the serial killer line.
Yeah, you're
my
really poems.
And
poems
I don't need to go any further. But I do like there's something about a big bison head that it's like, wow, this is, we're in the wild.
I don't care. I think it, because, yeah, it's just it's either like 1970s basement or this guy's about to murder me. There's no
right
in between for having taxidermy. Who was the, again, like, not to sound like a hacky joke, but like, who was the first person that killed somebody and was like, I need to stuff that and have
a serial
it.
Killer.
Probably.
Yeah. It wasn't, it didn't grow, it didn't go like normal taxidermy people and then some of them became serial killers. It was like serial killers also wanted to stuff and keep things. And then some people went, hey, that's kind of an interesting thing. We could get that going. Did we just write a bit together?
Nailed it. I mean, speaking of offensive, the letter we're going to get from the taxidermy union.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The board is lighting up right now.
The board is not lining up, lighting up.
Yeah. No,
it's not doing either of those things. I would love to get a phone call if you're listening to the show, if you're on the road.
If you work at a Blockbuster and there's no one there.
Yeah.
If you're writing a poem to a barista right now. If your Netflix account might be canceled because your credit card is doing weird stuff, or if you're going to see Mark Norman at the Comedy Mix tonight, any one of those things, or if you're just listening, you can make a phone call.
604-822-248 and then try all the numbers. No, it's 2487. 604-822-2487. Man, I need to get some more work. Yeah, my days are empty. We were talking about that before,
yeah.
But it's like, do you ever have a day where you actually have like a, it's crazy because you would think if you had a big chunk of time, mm-hmm. you'd be like, I'm going to get busy. But it has the opposite effect almost. It's like, I need to fill this time with nothing.
I think it depends on the type of personality you are. Like for me though, exactly. Like that's, Wednesday morning, like I slept off base and then the person I was with had to go to work. And so like I was up at like 8 a.m. and I was like, I have two options for today. I could go home. Just go back to sleep, or I could get a bunch done. And I ended up getting a bunch of stuff done.
Well, good for you.
And I know, but it was so draining on me. Like,
yeah.
Like, and it wasn't even like I was like, I have to build a home and dig a trench. It was like, I have to put in my laundry and get groceries and do like one other thing. And at the end of the day, I was just exhausted because I'd done the things that a regular human being would do in the course of 8 continuous hours.
You're like feeling tired for the first time. Like, what is this?
sensation I have over my, because some people, I think it would be possible these days for somebody to not experience tiredness, right? Because we go to bed, like no one goes to bed tired anymore. You get out your tablet and you look at the screen until the blinding retinas force you into a stupor.
Yeah.
And then that transitions into a very unhealthy sleep eventually. And then you wake up and have coffee.
Is I go to your poem blog and I just read them until I'm eventually asleep.
I just watch your serious top comic demo reel.
Okay, so one day I had to get a spot at a club changed.
Right.
So I had to message. So basically what I had to do, I had to call them first, then message somebody on another day to see if they could take my spot and we could switch. And then I also wanted to go to the bank that day. And after I did that, after I made one phone call, messaged somebody on Facebook, made another phone call, I was too exhausted to go to the bank. And the bank was on my way home from work. Like, I had to just stop in and just, like, deposit a check or something. But because I had made two phone calls and sent one Facebook message, I was too exhausted to do that.
You're lazy.
I think that might be – I think that just might be I'm just lazy. I don't think this is, like, a real thing. I might just be super lazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard your jokes based on your joke writing. Very, very lazy.
Joke writing. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. You mean I'll write something down.
Do you write your jokes out?
I write, like, this, like the thing that's the initial, like,
– I'm joking, by the way. Roman's very funny.
Roman's great. I mean, let's talk about – we could talk about how great I am.
Oh, I hated that clarifying moment. That we shouldn't need any of those. Go on, sorry.
Well, I just like, all right, like the initial kind of thing that like I'm snapping my fingers and that doesn't help clear up what I'm saying. But like
the
initial
point.
Thought process, I'll write that down and then I'll say it somewhere at like a less attended show. And if there's like a giggle, I'll know it's worth carrying around. And then I'll just kind of like try and add on to that. I do very little like sitting down, pen and paper, writing out a full thing.
It shows.
Yeah. I know. Exactly.
you wouldn't believe it. I don't practice.
I just kind of comes into my head. Go and just wing
it.
And you're like, Roman, why is your set about 8 minutes of crowd work? I'm like, because I have 2 minutes of jokes. That's why. That's
yeah. The
But do you write a lot?
Yeah, I do. I get the idea and then
I think I should. I should do way more of that.
I use Google Docs. And I think that's really good. There's a whole like whimsical side to
Alex wearing a Google Docs t-shirt right now, drinking out of a Google Docs mug with a Google Docs hat.
All
right,
that's how many times we have to say it. We don't. But yeah, no, I just did the thing where people go, yeah, no. What was the point of those two syllables? I should have just said my thing. People cherish the moleskin notebook, pencil, and eraser approach. Yeah. You know, like I want this tactile thing, and I do too. I mean, there's something cool about going to a coffee shop and writing stuff down, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're an architect or a stand-up or a poet
or, you know? Or a creepy serial killer taxidermist poet.
Yeah, your kill list, you know. You can't do that on Google Docs. It's too accessible. But it really is, I mean, like just being able to go on the computer and type it out quickly, especially for jokes. And then like I've seen Seinfeld's notepad and he has to move things around by hand, like drawing arrows between stuff.
Yeah.
Like jokes is all about rearranging and editing and cutting down, right? And I find that on a computer, it's way easier to do that.
I used to, when I started, I wrote out pages and pages and pages of stuff. And then the next, like not even the next day, 15 minutes later, I would look back and go, I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
And I guess that's part of the process. Like, but it just felt like such a waste where I could like look at something and go, I like the idea of what I was trying to say with these four pages, but that's one sentence. And then I'll just go, if I can just carry that on stage around and like, and then figure out where it drops in to my other stuff.
But aren't you worried that you're going to forget your jokes? Like, don't you have to keep them somewhere?
No, because I have 100 pieces of paper in my back pocket that have my set list that I've used recently on it. It's just like,
oh, okay,
that's it. It's just all different. Like, wow. And these aren't even, these aren't jokes. They're just like, these are, I know all these jokes and I have recordings and stuff.
Can I see one of those?
Yeah, this is one I like. This is a good one.
Fidel Castro strip club banner?
Bouncer.
Bouncer. Fidel Castro strip club. I want to hear that.
Well, it was just like,
what's that about?
It was just,
we don't really do bits on this show, but like,
it was,
I
more
mean,
like, it's
one,
not like a,
sometimes
it,
we do.
I was wearing a nice shirt because it was like a competition, and I look semi like Fidel Castro.
Yeah. I mean, you really do.
So I opened with like Finally, the answer to the question, is Fidel Castro still alive, and what would it look like if he worked as a bouncer at an upscale strip club?
Yeah.
It's a good way to open, I thought. Got a laugh.
Yeah, I hope it got a laugh then. No, I mean, that's a...
It's one of those things you do in the that show that you don't necessarily carry around all the time.
You got to have those tools, those accessible jokes. I should write more of those. I know what you guys are thinking.
I hate, and we all do it. And I'm like, I've done it, and I'm not saying I'll never do it again. But that phrase in particular,
it's the worst thing ever.
Is I know you guys. No, you don't know.
I know what you guys are thinking. I should quit comedy because I'm annoying.
It's just and we all use it. There's phrases like that because sometimes you don't know how do you frame a joke. How do you?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of time people say, recently I, and it's like you really. You could have done that differently. People say the same. Just the other day. Who says that when they're talking to people in real life?
Well, when people are talking in real life, it's because it actually happened just the other day.
Right.
If this is a regular conversation, I said, yesterday morning I was on the bus. It's because yesterday morning I was actually on the bus.
Hey, you're not just saying that because you want to make this look current. You're just storing up conversations. It'd be funny if people wrote for regular conversations edited. I'm so ready for the next person I talk to.
Oh man,
I'm gonna work in this whole cockroach thing.
Hey man, where are you from? What do you do for a living? How long have you guys been dating?
I know what you're thinking. When did Fidel Castro start working at a strip club?
my other least favorite thing that comics will do, new guys starting out, it will be they're like, your next comic, I've never seen him before. This is his first time. Give it up, and that guy will come up on stage and he'll go, "Hey, my name's Tim. I'm 23 years old," and then he'll just continue with his jokes. The needless self introduction of "Hey, my name's Alex. I'm 21."
Well, don't make it sound like I do that.
Well, and here are my poems.
I'm definitely not 21.
It was just the
first are my poems. All right, I think I need to go get a coffee. So we're gonna wrap this show up. It's been a lot of fun. A
lot of fun.
You can catch me at Jaeger's on... I like how I say that as though I'm I'm going fast. You gotta catch me while you can. you can walk down and... no, it's gonna be great.
Fun show. Very fun show. I've done that once or twice since I've been in town. It's a lot of fun. Great room.
30th, Jaeger's. I'll be hosting, so I'll be there all night. You can come in at any time, but please come at the start.
Please come in with your Vancouver Right merchandise on for Alex to sign it.
It's only $5, or you can print one of my poems from my blog, and I'll sign that. I'll sign breasts, anything.
If you do that, I will think that person is a serial killer. If someone comes in to one of your shows with can you sign this poem?
Yeah.
Either the funniest person in the universe or someone who's going to murder you.
That's a great movie, though. It's a poetry writing serial killer and a fan of their poetry, and they're both trying to kill each other. And you will be at, one more time?
Waterfront Pub, Waterfront Comedy Night, Princeton Pub, Simon King headlining, Monday night, 9 p.m.
Boom. Ooh, why did I end that with boom?
I don't know. Catch Mark Norman also at the Comedy Mix this weekend.